Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Big Business Lark by Lawrie Wyman and starring Jimmy Edwards, Frank Thornton, and Gwen Cherryl. To most men, if they're asked to work in it, a garden is a loathsome thing. Gardens are something you get some other clod to look after, preferably the wife. After all, mowing the lawn and weeding is really a woman's work, and in any case, why should you pay a gardener when you assumed it was included in the housekeeping money? The only time anything about a garden appeals to a man is when there's a prospect of making money out of it. This is particularly true of Sir Charles Boniface, the managing director and chairman of British United Plastics. His firm is to manufacture polystuma sheeting for a new type of greenhouse, and the size of the order makes him an instant nature lover from the safety of his penthouse office. But not for very long, actually.
Now, let me get this absolutely straight. As I understand it, we have made 50,000 sheets of polystuma, 10-foot square, for Glorious Garden Greenhouses Limited.
Correct.
Yes, and all 50,000 of them have had bolt holes drilled in the wrong place.
It was a simple mistake. Instead of drilling the holes 14 and a half inches in, we drilled them 40 and a half inches in. The only slight snag is that's made the whole flaming lot utterly useless.
Well, of course it has, Edith.
Yes, Sir Charles.
Find out which of our staff drilled the holes. Give him my compliments, my good wishes for the new year, and tell the idiot he's fired.
Well, that won't be necessary, Sir Charles. When Mr. Frank told him the holes were in the wrong place and he saw the warehouse stacked with all those sheets of useless polystuma, he gave in his notice and had a nervous breakdown.
Well, you better send him some flowers, I suppose, with a bomb in them. Well, there's nothing we can do. I mean, we just have to make a fresh lot with the holes drilled in the right place.
That has already been started, Father.
Oh, good.
I've put the staff on overtime so we can meet the delivery date. It's the other part of the problem that's the tricky bit.
I thought there'd be something else.
The main selling point of polystuma is that it is indestructible.
I know that.
How do we get rid of 50,000 10-foot square sheets?
Quite simple. Write it off as a tax loss.
I don't think Mr. Frank was talking about the loss of profit.
I was. Mind you, that's a heck of a lot of loot, you know. I'll just have to claim expenses for about 14 meals a day.
What I mean, Father, is how do we physically get rid of all those sheets of polystuma?
Burn it.
Polystuma won't burn.
All right, then. Melt it down and use it again.
Once it's made, polystuma won't ever melt again.
What is this we're going to do, then? Eat it?
You can't eat it.
I know you can't. This is ridiculous. There must be some way of getting rid of the ghastly muck. Give the dustman 5 bob and tell him to take it away.
50,000 sheets of it.
All right, then splurge 6 bob.
Have you ever seen 50,000 sheets piled one on top of the other? That little dust car to be going backwards and forwards for 10 years.
I see now why you've come to your dear old dad for advice. Well, there's a perfectly simple solution which you really ought to have thought of yourself.
Go on.
Well, we've got our own destructor unit now. We'll just bung the muck in there.
Funnily enough, I had thought of that. I know it's the latest and toughest type of destructor, but it will never cope with polystuma.
Nonsense, of course it will.
It won't, Sir Charles.
Don't you get across me, woman. Of course it will. Before we bought it, I saw the demonstration. It can crush a battleship into a 6-foot bundle of scrap. Doesn't float too well afterwards. It gets very uncomfortable for the sailors, too, but it can be done.
I, for one, am not going to risk it. That destructor cost the company a fortune.
So it's time it started earning its keep. Right, follow me. I shall authorize it. So let's go and give the destructor its polystuma dinner.
And that is the destructor unit, Father. And this is Miss Short of our technical department, whom I believe you've met before.
Yes, I have indeed, yes. All 36, 22, 35 of her.
The first one is 37, actually, Sir Charles.
Bragging again. Oh, I think she's been on a course. Have we got the sample of the polystuma sheeting here?
We have.
And when you bung it in the destructor, I want to be behind a concrete wall in a tin hat and about 5 miles away.
If I could be so bold, Sir Charles.
Of course you can, my dear. Any time you like, but let's get the work over first.
What I meant, Sir Charles...
Got her.
Well, now we all know what Sir Charles meant.
I was about to say that as chief technician, I must warn you that even with the power it has, it just won't destruct Polystuma.
Oh, of course it will. I've never heard such a fuss about nothing. If you're all in such a panic, I shall personally sign the authorization for the destructor to be used for this purpose.
Sign here.
Very well. There you are. There you are, you pair of worry guts. Now switch the infernal thing on, somebody.
Certainly, Sir Charles.
Without a run, I'd have thought it had been switched on all the time.
We don't any more remarks like that. Give me a hand with this sheet of polystuma. I want to chuck it in as soon as the beastly thing gets going.
Is it ready for Din Din?
Then let's hope it's terribly, terribly hungry.
Right. Here goes. In with it. There you are. I told you it'd be all right.
And you were wrong, weren't you?
What happened? I mean, why has it stopped? Who switched it off?
You did, Sir Charles. It's jammed up completely, thanks to you.
Oh, don't thank me. It was nothing. I mean, anyone might... It's what? It can't have jammed up. Oi, work, blast you! Come on, work, blast you! Start up again immediately! This is your managing director and chairman thumping you. Ooh, that half hurt. Come on, I know you're in there somewhere.
It's no good, Father. It's had it.
Well, if it has, so have I. The board will go potty.
Well, now it's stopped smoking and I can see into it, Sir Charles. It doesn't look too desperate.
It may not, but he does.
You mean you can repair it? A pair of pliers and a bit of fuse wire and all that?
Oh, hardly. But it isn't a complete write-off. It'll cost about 10,000, but we should get it running again in about a month.
Oh, it's little... 10,000?
Why don't you write it off as a tax loss?
Are you out of your directorial nut? I'm already down for 14 meals a day. If I try to swing this as well, I'll have to eat at least 36 meals a day on the company, and 5 calls at that.
Once we've had the destructor repaired, Sir Charles, do you want us to try another sheet of polystuma in it?
No, thank you all the same. Miss Short, I don't know why they call you that. She's not short of anything, really. I have a feeling that it might be as well if I tried to find some other way of getting rid of the rotten, beastly, nasty, horrible, filthy, disgusting, messy, stinking stuff.
And the best of British United Plastics love.
Oh, it's ridiculous, Edith. There's got to be a way. Other people can get rid of their rubbish. Why can't I?
If you're really desperate, I did have one idea of how to get rid of it.
Oh, no. Edith, I love you. Speak up, and if it does work, I'll buy you a new blotter.
Very generous.
Well, I merely thought, we sold the Ministry of Defense all that polystuma armor plating for their tanks.
So they might like to buy these sheets for replacements.
Edith, I was wrong. I don't love you, I adore you. You shall have 2 new blotters. Nay, nay, caution to the wind, 3. Why didn't I think of it? Quick, who do we know at the Ministry of Defense?
Well, there's that nice Mr. Stone. He negotiated the original deal with us.
Get him on the phone, quick.
Certainly, Sir Charles.
Well, little does he know it, but one of Harold's heroes is about to go shopping. Be one of those rare occasions when government war surplus are about to buy government war surplus.
Ministry of Defense. Mr. Stokes, secretary speaking.
Oh, is Mr. Stokes there? I have a call for him from Sir Charles Boniface.
Oh, just one moment. It's 11 o'clock and he did have an urgent appointment. I'll just see if he's back.
Thank you.
Come along, Edith. Where is the twit?
He had an urgent appointment. His secretary's just seeing if he's back.
Oh, with my luck, he's probably been promoted to some other ministry that can't help.
Hello. Sorry to keep you. Mr. Stokes has just returned from his appointment. Putting you through.
Oh, thank you. Hello?
Stokes here. Sorry to keep you. The tea trolley lady's gone off the boil.
I beg your pardon?
I had to wait for a fresh brew up. Now, what's the jolly old problem?
Sir Charles Boniface would like a word with you.
Oh, crumbs. Don't tell me I've slopped my cup of char all over my bicky for him.
Putting him on the line now, Mr. Stokes.
At last. Hello. Hello, Sir Charles Boniface here. Keeping well, are you?
I was. Until about three minutes ago.
Splendid. I'm about to do your department an enormous favor.
You're resigning?
No. At least not yet. You remember those polystumor sheets you ordered for the tanks, remember?
Oh, yes.
You do remember. Oh, tanks, yes. For the memory. How would you like 50,000 spares? 10 foot square with just one row of holes in them. A cancelled order, you understand?
Oh, I understand all right, old man. Just can't get rid of the things.
I was merely trying to save the country money.
Sir Charles, we bought polystumor tanks because they're indestructible.
Yes, quite.
In that case, why do we want spares?
It's a very good point, blast it. It was merely...
In any case, government departments don't work that way, Sir Charles. Even if we wanted them, we should still contract for brand new ones, regardless of cost.
Yes, now you mention it, I had noticed that tendency.
I mean, all the equipment we over-order and have to dispose of at rock-bottom prices must be top quality, mustn't it, old man? After all, we are British.
Thank you so much for telling me.
No, not at all. I keep you in the picture.
Thank you so much.
I say, tell you what, I just had a spiffing thought.
Oh, congratulations. Nurture it.
No, I mean, if you really are stuck with all those sheets of polystumor, we could take a few off your hands during this army maneuver we're holding on Jolly Old Salisbury Plain next week. We could use them for target practice and all that.
How many of the blasted things do you want?
Oh, well, let me see now. How many do you say you've got?
50,000.
Oh, well, in that case, perhaps you'd let us have a couple of dozen.
Oh, thank you so very, very much. You've no idea what a relief that'll be.
We aim to please, old man. If they work as targets successfully, we might well take the rest.
Well, that's different. Consider them as good as their old man. And I'll be there to see they do work as well.
Kind of you to come down to the old plain to see this jolly old exercise and all that.
Drafty, isn't it? I just thought I'd say drafty there.
Not at all. Father wanted to, and he told me to, so I had no flaming choice.
Did I?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Of course you had a choice. Mind you, if you'd refuse, you'd have no future in the company, but I mean, you'd have a choice. Well, it's drafty here, isn't it? Don't much like it out here in the open air on Salisbury Plain. When's this nasty, noisy, blasted lot going to start, then?
Oh, it already has started, old man. We've set up your samples of polystumor as targets, and we've already discovered that small arms and cannon fire won't penetrate.
We knew that. You'll have to use bigger stuff than that to destroy our product.
Yeah, well, that's where our interest lies. Obviously, in time, a potential enemy will develop similar armor-plating polystumor, so we want our tanks equipped with something that can destroy it.
Well, that sounds logical. It also seems logical that a potential enemy, as you say, will then develop a similar something that will destroy our tanks. But, go on.
Oh, right you are, old man. Still have progress.
You could have fooled me.
And me.
Draft, isn't it?
What happens now?
Well, we get a draft up your whatnot here.
I think Lieutenant Colonel Banks here has got the answer. That's right, isn't he, Banks, old chap?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, you know, I'm with the Technological Department, and we reckon that this year mortar bomb here will go through that there polystumor sheet there like bah.
I take it the colonel came up through the ranks.
No, he came to us straight from Oxford.
Really? One must hope he was just on a day trip. All right, Binks, Bonks, Bunks, whatever your name is. Let's see what your mortar bomb can do.
Yes, yes, certainly. She's already loaded up, named, and all that malarkey. I'll just get my corporal to fire the perisher.
Yes, sir.
Let her go, mate.
Righty-ho. It's a hell of a draft, isn't it?
My word, the modern army has changed, hasn't it?
Look out, he's seen us.
Right, that was a bit close.
Well, it sort of bounced, and I don't think I want to stay for the next trial.
You're not the only one. The colonel's left already.
Here I say, what's the idea? You bent our bomb.
I'm sorry, Corporal. Father will pay for it.
Father flaming well won't. Right, pack up, both of you. It's back to London and to blazes with the picnic lunch.
With pleasure.
Thank you for all your help, Stokes, old man. Obviously, we shall have to just think of some other way of getting rid of this blasted stuff.
Say this much for you, Father. You certainly think big.
Huh?
Who else would have had us miles out in the Atlantic on a tug just to get rid of a few sheets of polystyrene?
The whole thing has become a sort of challenge now. There's just got to be a way of getting rid of the wretched muck. I will not be beaten.
Even if it means hiding this lot so that we can sink the stuff.
My word, she's pitching a bit, isn't she? It's
the
principle of the draft. In any case, I didn't hire this ghastly tug. The firm did. They don't know it yet, but they did. I've charged it as marine development and research.
You always find a way, don't you?
Well, in most things, yes. But this will only work if we manage to sink the beastly stuff. You see, if we get rid of the couple of dozen sheets we've got on board today, I'll send the rest out on a dirty great tanker, dump them, and then claim on Lloyd's for loss of cargo.
That you certainly will not get away with.
Oh, I didn't mean it seriously. Although it's quite an idea, isn't it?
I should stick to eating your way through your tax losses. It's safer.
Don't be daft. If this lot goes wrong, I'll be up to 45 meals a day at least.
Well, you got the figure for it.
If you've quite finished sending me up, I'd be obliged if you'd find the captain of this lousy boat. I mean, I want to know how much further he intends to lurch me up and down.
Certainly.
Good day, Luke, and a horn of luck.
Well, that came out of a hole in the deck. Who is this extraordinary idiot?
Just the captain, that's all.
Oh, good gracious. Oh, how do you do? How do you do? I didn't recognize you with your flat hat on. He's a bit stupid, isn't he? Nearly far enough out, aren't we?
Okay. This'll be you long off your dumping ground.
German, is it?
Well, not quite. I gather we've arrived at the dumping spot.
Tell those clots to sling the sheets over the side so that we can get back for a bath and a change. I'm sure I'll pong of oil and old fish forever.
It is a bit powerful, isn't it?
I don't think it's the boat. I think it's him.
Good evening, Lou.
And a woody I am.
Shut up.
Captain, would you be so kind as to ask your men to start dumping the polystumer sheets overboard?
And right new, if not quicker.
Aye. Well, we see eye to eye on that.
We mean now, you thick-headed, porridge-filled, caber-bunging clot.
Aye.
Angus, Waller, will you nick the nar of the Loch the Creek and Grandel make the Clannock Brave the new with a cargo?
What the hell did that lot mean?
Well, I've no idea, but they seem to have got the message. The first sheet of polystumer is going over the side of the new.
Don't you start.
I named this ship HMS Polystumer.
Oh, and made... Will you please take this mess we're in seriously?
I'd like to. Oh, I really would.
I don't think I can anymore.
What's the matter?
Look. Look for yourself. They're all floating.
Sink, you fool, sink. I command you. This is the managing director and chairman of the factory that made you. Sink, and that's an order. It's the humiliation of it all. Here am I in charge of a worldwide business empire, and I can't even get rid of me rubbish.
Couldn't you offer it to the Red Cross or the Boy Scouts or something?
I tried that. Just take it away and it's yours, I said.
What did they say?
Something obscene. Then they giggled at the quantity and said it again. Come in.
Excuse me, Sir Charles. Miss Short of the technical department's here to see you. Shall I show her in?
I think you'd better, Edith, and tell her to be kind to him. I don't think his blood pressure can stand much more.
Yes, he is a bit tulip-coloured, isn't he?
It is not my blood pressure. It was the sea air on that dreadful tug.
A nasty temper.
I am not in a nasty temper. I am not in a nasty temper. I never am in a nasty temper. It's just that everybody else upsets me because they're all such complete morons and utter clots. They all ought to be shot or clamped in iron. So they stop sending me up the wall, and that includes you two.
Now isn't it a nasty temper?
I am not in a nasty temper. It's just my blood pressure.
Send Miss Short in, please, Edith.
Certainly, Mr. Frank. Well, I can't imagine that her figure will calm down his blood pressure.
Possibly not, you daft old bat. At least my blood pressure will be rising for a good purpose. Send her in.
This way, Miss Short.
Thank you, Miss Short.
Come in. Oh, you're in. Thank you so much. Perhaps you'd like to sit down.
No, thanks, Sir Charles. If it's all the same to you, I'd rather sit the other side of your desk.
Oh, spoils.
Here, let me get a chair for you, Miss Short.
Oh, Mr. Frank, thank you very...
Well done, my boy. Every inch a Boniface. I couldn't have patted her what's-name better myself.
Obviously, it runs in the family.
Come on. I'm not going to be slung on the slog heap in my own office. Let's get down to business.
I was trying to.
Now then, Miss Short, what delightful little devastation do you want to talk to me about this morning?
Well, I thought you'd like to know the destructor is working again.
Already? Well, that makes a change. I thought you said it'd take about a month to repair.
Yes, well, of course, I was wrong. The experts came down to look at it after you'd fed that sheet of polystumer into it.
And the damage wasn't as bad as you thought?
Not exactly. They said it was beyond repair. So they put a new one in.
But that'll cost another blighted fortune.
Father?
Well?
How do you feel about 85 meals a day?
Oh, you're so smug. You know I signed the authority to use it, so you also know that I'm going to go for a right chop with the board. They'll have me rolls, me office, me fitted carpet, me shilling ballpoint pen for this.
I doubt it.
Why?
Well, the destructor has only been installed for a few weeks, and Mr. Frank and I decided to get together.
Yeah, I noticed that earlier.
Father, we looked up the original contract, and it stipulates that the machine will destruct anything.
Of course, they didn't realize we made polystuma, which is indestructible.
But after I phoned their managing director, they agreed to supply a replacement free of charge. Provided we amended the contract to exclude polystuma. Feeling better now?
Yes, but I mean, I mean, naturally, I realize all the time, but I mean, I never really. Obviously, I wouldn't. Thank you, my boy. Thank you. I'm extremely grateful. At least you've saved my ballpoint pen.
The other thing, Sir Charles, is that by working overtime, the factory has managed to turn out the new 50,000 sheets with the holes drilled 14 and a half inches in on time. They're being delivered to glorious garden greenhouses this morning.
Blimey, they must have worked like stinking.
Of course, we do still have the problem of what we're going to do with the 50,000 sheets in the warehouse, Charles.
Oh, you would remind me of them, wouldn't you? Just as I was beginning to feel all mellow and friendly and cuddly.
And a lot less tulip-colored.
Come in.
Oh, it's Stanley the liftman. What is it, Stanley?
Well, it's him, isn't it? I don't know what to do with him, do I?
Stanley!
I found him wandering about the corridor, didn't I? Got himself lost, hadn't he? So I brought him in here, haven't I?
Well, we don't know, do we?
You said so, haven't I? You wasn't listening, was you?
No, we weren't, was we?
Stanley, I do wish you'd stop doing that.
I don't know what you're talking about, do I?
And the ghastly thing is, he doesn't. Does he? Oh, wow! One more of those and I'll lock him in his lift between floors 10 and 12 for a month.
Won't you?
You enjoy having a go at your dear old dad, don't you? I mean, just find out what the fool is talking about.
It's him out there. He wants to see you urgent and that. So I brought him up here, didn't I?
Oh, Stanley, just show the gentleman in, whoever he is.
Oh, for you, Mrs. Anything. Any time. Here, drafty, ain't it?
Sir Charles Boniface's office, isn't it?
Yes. I used to like to think it was. May we ask who you are?
Oh, yes, of course. My name's Burke.
Not a word from either of you two.
Wait one second. Now, I'm the chief designer from Glorious Garden Greenhouses Limited, and we have a bit of a problem. It's all my fault, of course.
I have a feeling this is going to be rich.
Well, it's about those polystuma sheets for the bases of our new greenhouses. I don't know what we can do about it, but you see, it seems that I've dropped a bit of a clanger.
Join the club.
Well, you see, I've only just noticed that my gal made a bit of an error at tracing the original designs. The holes for bolting the bits together should have been 40 and a half inches in, not 14 and a half.
What?
Yes, well, I wondered if it was too late to change it.
What? Now it
He's going tulip-colored again.
Naturally, my company will compensate you for my error.
Mr. Burke.
And that is no misnomer.
We have just had our factory working all night to deliver to you polystuma sheets with holes 14 and a half inches in. They should be on the way to your factory right now.
Oh, crikey. But how long do you think it'll take to make a fresh lot with holes 40 and a half inches in?
Well, funnily enough, we can deliver those from stock.
No, splendid, splendid. There's just one other point.
Here it comes.
Just, well, if you've delivered the useless sheets to our factory, I wonder if you'd mind picking them up and getting rid of them for us.
No, they're all yours. I never want to see another sheet of that muck again. With all those holes in them, it's too drafty anyway. You're not charging them, so you get them. Get them out of here.
Jimmy Edwards, Frank Thornton, and Gwen Cheryl have been Destructing the Big Business Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Jimmy Edwards was Sir Charles Bodyface. Frank Thornton was Frank Bodyface. Gwen Cheryl was Edith Chalmers. Mr. Stokes was played by Alexander John. Miss Short was Elizabeth Morgan. And Mr. Burke was Nigel Graham. And the show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.